You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I was meditating on Father's Day and, of course, thinking about what it meant, you know, to me. And of course, I think it should always come down to you as a person. Anytime you hear a message, anytime you actually, before you criticize, you ought to look at yourself and see if you're the father you should be. You know, I think often that we're quick to criticize, but we're not quick to self-analyze. And we ought to analyze ourselves, judge ourselves lest we be judged. You know, we point that finger at people, and we got all these fingers pointing back at us. Maybe you didn't have a good life. I don't know. Maybe you didn't have a good daddy. I hope you did. I hope you do. But see, that's really not the point now. The point now is, what kind of daddy are you going to be? What kind of father are you going to be? You know, maybe you've been mistreated. Maybe you've been run over. Maybe you've been bamboozled. I don't know. You know, but the point is not all that. You can live your life on hurt. You can live your life on offenses. You can live your life on going over all the things that have been done wrong to you. Nobody knows the trouble I see, you know. But you don't ever heal that way. You don't ever get over anything that way. Why don't you just take it as a lesson learned and say, I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to raise my children better than that. Amen. Are you with me? I'm going to be a better husband than that. I'm going to be a better man than that. Are you out there? You know, whatever reason in the past, and I'm talking about people who may have had a bad past. I mean, there's a lot of people that had good parents and good daddies, and thank God for that, and learn from their example. If you didn't have a good example, determined to do better. Amen? That's the only thing that really matters is what you do. It's not what people do to you. It's what you do. It's not what people say about you. It's what you say. It's not how you've been hurt in the past. It's decisions and the choices that you make now that determine your future. Your destiny is in your hands. If you'll trust God, you can turn it around. Sorry to tell you can make it, but you can. You really can. Sorry to tell you that you're responsible, but you are responsible. Don't you believe the lie. You can improve your life. You can get better. You can repent of sin. You can get help. You can call on God, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In fact, Jeremiah said, call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. I believe there's hope. I believe there's a future. I believe the future is bright. We've got to wear shades. Amen? Amen. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you think it's going to be like it's always been. You can make a difference. You can make a change. You can, from this day forward and step out on God's word. And as far as a daddy is concerned, a father's concerned, you can be a better daddy. Maybe you hadn't been one. I don't know. But you can be better. You can determine now to make a change. Amen. Amen? And then if you've been a good, major on the good. Just keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. And if your daddy's alive, call him. Listen, you leave here, call your dad. That won't be hard for you, Jason. He's right over there. So, yeah, but call him up. You know, and thank him for being a dad to you. Tell him you love him. I'll tell you, when I am 90 years old, and Chris is 70-something, I don't know, 72. I think I was 18. Yeah, I was 18. When I'm 90, he's 72, I will still hug him and tell him I love him. Amen. He'll still be my son. Yes. And I think it takes a man to tell your kids you love them. Because people don't do that a lot of times nowadays. But real men do. Real daddies do. You know, when you think about this whole Christianity thing, I want to tie this all together with fathers. We all have a good father, God. We all have a good example, God. We all have someone who has been good to us and believed in us and helped us and been there for us and still there for us, God. God's our father. So none of us are ever left out of not having a good father. If you're here and you're thinking of your dad, whether he's good or bad, God has always been good. And he's always believed in you. And Christianity, see, this is what makes Christianity different than all other religions and Buddhism and the Muslim faith, the Islamic faith, and Shintoism, and Zoroastrianism, and all the isms. What makes us different is the fact that this is not a religion. Christianity is a family. And see, God, as long as God just your God, you're still not a Christian yet. He has to become your father for you to be saved, to go to heaven. You have to be, as Jesus said, born again. And you and I have been born into a family, not a religion. We've been born into a great family who has a Father, who is God, the Father, who has a Son, God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, and then us, his children, big family. This is interesting. It's very unique. God has no grandchildren. He has no nephews and has no nieces. Are you with me? He just has kids. He just has sons and daughters. And you and I, when we address God, I think sometimes we wear out the word God. I know it's proper and it's right. He is God, the creator, the maker of all that is. But he's more than power. He's more than control. He's more than, the supreme divine governor of the universe or moral governor of the universe. He is Daddy. Yes, he is. See, the Spirit in us, the Bible says, cries out, Abba, Father. And Jesus taught us, when he taught us to pray, he said, pray after this manner, our Father, which art in heaven. Because we needed to get that picture. I mean, how do you picture God? As a force, as a power, as a great policeman of the sky, passing out tickets every time you do something wrong, commit some crime? I think some people do believe that. God's going to get you for that, you know. That's the great judge. Well, he does judge. He is the moral governor. I believe all that. He is the creator. But see, all that's kind of abstract. Let's get more personal. He is my daddy now that I've been born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new, the Bible tells us. See, I have received Jesus. If you have received Jesus, then the Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power and authority to become the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Who were born not of the will of flesh or of blood, but of God. Hallelujah. See, this is a family. This is the fact of Christianity. This is the Father fact. God is our Father. God's not Allah. God's not a force. God's not a power. God's not about submission. God's about love. Now, yes, I do need to live right. I understand that. There's many scriptures along those lines. But it's because God loves me that compels me. It constrains me. It moves me to do what's right. I don't want to grieve him. He loves me. When everybody else forsakes me, he's for me. When everybody else gives up on me, he doesn't give up on me. He's for me. He's on my side. Hallelujah. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Woohoo! Hallelujah. Help me preach this thing. Come on. Come on. So God is our Father, not just a creator, not just a God, as it were. You know, I think it's interesting, even in Hebrew, Old Testament's written in Hebrew, New Testament's written in Greek. But they actually, when they study languages, the Hebrew goes back to even further to what they call Paleo-Hebrew or ancient Hebrew, where the root words were just like cuneiform. They were just pictures. And every root word of a Hebrew word has a corresponding picture to the letter. The Hebrew letters that make up the alphabet have corresponding pictures. The word translated creator in the Old Testament in its picture form gives us a picture of a mother bird preparing a nest for her children. So even then, when you think about God, he's not just abstractly a creator. He's not just someone that made a bunch of stuff. He had an intent and a purpose. He was preparing something for his children. And that's exactly what we see in creation. We see God making all the lights and, you know, to light the day and for times and for seasons and the seas and the great fish and the whales and, you know, and then the moving creatures upon the earth and the birds of the air. And when everything was prepared and everything was ready, the climax of his creation was mankind. And then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And I believe that every time I go fishing. And over the fowl of the air and duck hunting, bird hunting, whatever, you know. Dominion. He gave us dominion over all of creation because he created everything for us. Out of love, out of compassion, out of care. Not just a force, not just a power, not just a creator. I mean, the Hebrew mind was real personal. I love that. It's the Greek mind that got real abstract. And we tend to think in terms, Greek terms, about God. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. He is the omnipotent. I can't even pronounce it. Somebody have interpretation. Went off in tongues just then. I need interpretation. He is the omniscient one. He's the omnipotent one. He's power. God's control. God's in control of everything. We think of terms of sovereignty. Well, of course God could do whatever he wants to. I mean, we know that. He's God. But this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to raise a family. He wanted your input. He wanted your participation. That's what prayer is all about. See, I can pray and change things. Doesn't have to happen the way it's happening. I can make a difference. I can get on my knees and begin to pray, and God will hear me, and he'll change things. things that looked like they were going a certain way can go another way. Hallelujah. Because he wants me to participate. I'm a laborer together with him, the Bible says. We are builders together with God. And so we have a will and we have free will because this is a family. It's not about power. It's not about control. God's love. You say, well, God can do anything he wants. Yes, he can. And what he wanted to do was raise a family. He wanted to walk with you in the cool of the evening, fellowship with you. He wanted to love you, and he wanted you to love him back. He wanted interaction between you. Fellowship. We've called to fellowship with God, our Father. But I think sometimes we look at him in a very abstract way. Power, control. Are you with me? Creator, all these terms. See, those terms in Hebrew are totally different. They're very personal terms. But in Greek, they tend to be more philosophical. Or Platonic, Aristotelian, if that be a word, you know. And so we begin to talk about God in terms of philosophers instead of in terms of Bible. Of course God's all-powerful. Of course he's all-knowing. I know that. But see, that's not what Jesus wanted us to remember. That's not what he was trying to show us. He declared to us the Father. And whatever he saw the Father do, he did. And whatever he heard the Father say, he said. And he said, Lord, I have declared to them your name. I love that. Man, that's good. And he said, when you pray now, I want you to pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus eternally is the Son of the Father. Now, I know he existed forever as the Word. I understand that. The Bible's plain that Jesus is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit's God. But Jesus is not the Father. He's the Son. So there's a family eternally in the heavens. Always has been. Woo! I'm just loving this. I'm enjoying myself. I think I amen myself while I'm preaching. So God is a Father. Jesus is a Son. We're talking about a family here. Amen? And when I got saved, I became part of the family of God. The Father in heaven, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He became my Father. Hallelujah. I'm not a servant, just a servant. I'm not just a slave. I'm not just a number. I am a child of the living God. I have a daddy in heaven. Hallelujah. I have a heavenly daddy that cares for me, takes care of me. Woo! Christianity is not a religion. It's a family. That's why families are so important to God. That's why it's so important for us as men and as women, mothers, fathers, to raise our children right and to be the families that we should be, that God has ordained us to be. And we have a perfect example, God the Father. Amen? Jesus the Son. And what a relationship they had when he walked the earth, when Jesus walked the earth, in honoring his Father, in following his Father, and never doing what his didn't see his Father do, never bringing shame on his Father, as it were. We ought to live that kind of life. See, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ would have said, follow me as I follow my Father. Because that's what he did. And then he told us to follow him. He copied his Father. We ought to copy Jesus, the best picture we got. I mean, the most clear picture we ever had. I mean, you know, if you're trying to represent something, you might draw stick figures. That's what kids do, draw stick figures. And then as they get a little better, they might put a little form to it, you know, and maybe have a little face and, you know, eyes sideways and everything, but do the best they can. And then they might get a little better at it, you know, and professional artists, they'll actually draw pretty good paintings, you know, of people, portraits and so on and so forth. Now you're getting a little closer. And then a photograph, oh my, you get a photograph, we're just almost there, but not quite. Close, not quite. Then video, whoa, DVD. Woohoo! Thank God for the man who created DVD, or the woman, whoever it was, I don't know. But you got motion, you got people moving, but you know what? There's something even better than that when somebody shows up in person. And see, what we had in the Old Testament was pictures, stick figures, as it were, best they could. They tried to represent God as best they could. But you really don't have the full representation of God until his Son showed up, like Father, like Son. We went from stick figures to, you know, to paintings, to photographs, to DVDs, to all of a sudden, Emmanuel, God with us. He showed up, Jesus. And when we see him, he said, he that seen me, seen the Father. In other words, I do what he does. I say what he says. What kind of God is he? Well, follow him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Find out what kind of God we're talking about here. Is this just a God of power and control? No, this is a God who's healing the sick and raising the dead, casting out devils, forgiving sinners, helping the poor. Who cares? Are you with me? who's concerned about your life. He cares about your family. He cares about your finances. He cares about your emotions. He's concerned about how your life has turned out and how it will turn out. He very much involved, wants to be in your life. He's not a power, a force, or a number. He is a person. He is a daddy. And he is a daddy that loves you. Man, that's good, isn't it? I mean, that. And this is something you see all throughout. I didn't even turn to Scripture yet. I've been quoting a lot of them, so I guess that counts, doesn't it? But, you know, if you look through here, Jesus over and over talked about the Father. And even Paul, when we referred to Jesus, he would say things like, now to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the Father of our Lord and to Jesus. You know, to the Father, Jesus, and to our Lord. Over and over he would say that. In fact, 2 Corinthians 1:3, turn there. We'll just try to get you a look at a couple scriptures. So at least you'll walk there saying, hey, he did turn to the Bible. I got tickled. You know, Charity, one time, our oldest daughter, we have 5 children, 15 grandchildren. And you say, why do you have 5 children? Well, I didn't want 6. Anyway, I digress. Charity, when we were raising our children, you know, they had to, their friends had to be Christians. Now, I know they lied to us a few times, but that's okay. Their friends had to be in church, serving God, Christians. And they didn't just go spend the night with everybody. You know, they spent the night with people who were in church, serving God. Not someone just who was a Christian, but somebody who was in church serving God actively. And that's just the way it was. That's the way we did it. That's the way we wrote. You know, I hadn't regretted that. All my children are serving God. I got a lot of flack from it, you know, and, you know, people thought we were too cruel. I wasn't cruel. Goodness, we loved our children. We were responsible. You're responsible for your children, okay? They don't make the decisions about what's right and wrong growing up. You should make those decisions in love and explain it to them and so on. But I remember Charity spent the night with somebody, went to a church, another church. I will not name the church. Went to another church and she sat down with them, sat down, you know, with the family. The preacher got up to minister, you know, and she got her Bible out. She got her notepad out because that's what we do, you know. We always turn into Scripture and I'm quoting Scripture and referencing it. You're underlining and writing notes and so on and so forth. Anyway, the preacher got up and told a few stories and told a joke or two and a poem and made a point and closed out. Never quoted the Bible. Literally, this happened, okay? Never quoted the Bible, never referred to the Bible, talked about God maybe in general, but didn't quote Scripture like I'm just constantly quoting Scripture and didn't have him turn to anything. And she got home. She was appalled. Mad. Upset. Told me all about it. They didn't even turn the Bible. I had my Bible out. I had my notepad out. They didn't even. A preacher, a church, didn't even use the script. She couldn't believe it, that there were people like that. Hello. Thank God that she lived that kind of sheltered life. Really? You know, people say, well, you just brainwash your children. Hey, their brains need washing. And people accuse us of that. They come down that church and they just brainwash them. Well, I hope so. I hope they don't walk out with a dirty brain. Yeah, we do teach things. That's what church is about. Amen? So hopefully we teach the Word, the Scripture, the Bible, and so on and so forth. 2 Corinthians, found it? Amen. Notice what it says in the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Woo! Man, you got to love that. First, he says he's a daddy. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Larry brought out this morning, you know, how could you sacrifice your son? I couldn't, but God did that for us because he saw the future. He saw the end of this. In fact, you know, Hebrews 12 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross because he saw the future. He saw the outcome. He conquered death through dying. I love that. Through death, conquered death. But he gave, he sacrificed. A sacrifice had to be made. You know, if you want to give up, if you want to go up, you got to give up. I mean, for every crown, there's a crucifixion. There's got to be. There's got to be a sacrifice before there's ever redemption, as it were. And the sacrifice was the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's the Father. that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Man, aren't you glad? But it was the love of a father that brought salvation to us. Don't ever forget that. It wasn't the love of an abstract force, power, mind, just God, but the love of a father that brought salvation to us and deliverance to us. In the New Living Translation, I love this. I was reading New King James there, 2 Corinthians 1:3. The New Living Translation says, "All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort." I don't know what kind of daddy you have in the natural, but our God in heaven is a merciful Father. And I don't know if you can run to your daddy. I don't know if you can. I hope you can. I hope you call him. I hope you talk to him. I hope you have a good relationship. But our daddy in heaven is the source of all comfort. You can always call on him. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. You call on him. Well, he cares. Goodness. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Woo! See, he is what a real daddy should be. He's whom we should imitate. He is who we should copy. As dads, as fathers, we should be the kind of dad God is. The kind of dad that stands on the road waiting for the prodigal son to come back. Not the one that just keeps hammering at him and giving up on him and hates him, but the one that's hoping he'll turn. The one that never quits praying, quit believing. And when the son does come, he doesn't just stand there, he runs. Runs to the son. Hallelujah. And throws a party. Amen. You know, I think about the prodigal son. It's such an awesome story. You know, one son stayed, one son, you know, wasted all of his living and prodigal living. That's where the word prodigal comes from, wasteful living. And he finally repented and came back, and they threw a party and killed the fatted calf, put a golden ring on his finger and a new robe on him. And his son that had stayed with him was out working in the field and came home, and he was all upset. Kind of a picture of religion. Religion's kind of that way. You know, you have a church that's everybody's serving God, and somebody comes in not dressed real nice or, you know, from a questionable background or whatever, and everybody kind of looks down on them. Or, you know, church is not like that. It shouldn't be that way. Are you with me? All of us were lost at one time. We got no stones to throw. We're not a detective agency. We don't have people fill out a form for them to come in the door. They come in lost, and they go out saved. And in time, they begin to change. But, you know, we're talking lifestyles. I mean, not lifestyles, but styles of clothes. I don't care what somebody wears. Just get here. Now, wear something. But I think a church ought to be a place where you can wear a suit or shorts or whatever. I think there is some respect. Stay with me. But we don't judge people. Are you kidding me? I mean, there's people here that don't have jobs and people that have own companies and people black, white, Hispanic. See, churches, there's no black church, white church. There's no rich church, poor church. There's no biker church, cowboy church. Now, I'm not being critical. Thank God for all these outreaches and different churches. There's just church. That's all there is. And see, what's so good about this is we're forced to see each other and fellowship with each other, because you can pick your friends, but you stuck with your relatives. You need to come to church, because all kinds of people make up this world. And all kinds of people Jesus died for. And maybe they're not just your cup of tea, but I tell you, if they're Christians, they're believers, they're relatives, and you're going to live forever with them. You need to learn to live with each other. And we're not here to judge. We're here to help. We don't condone sin. We're not for sin, but I don't care what someone's done or been or what they've... Homosexuality, I'm against homosexuality. I think living together is sin. But I tell you, if anybody repent and turn, I don't care where they've been. Bring the homosexual. Bring the person living together. We'll marry the people living together. We won't marry homosexuals, but... Hello. I want to make sure I cover all my bases here. But, I mean, the adulterer, the liar, bring them. If they repent, if anybody repents, listen, we got no stones to throw. Are you with me? Is anybody in here ever sinned? Okay. I'm against sin. I think the church should stand up and say they're against sin. I'm against homosexual marriage. I think that's wrong. That's redefining the terms. God instituted marriage, not man. You don't redefine the terms. God had a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Are you with me? But I don't hate people. We don't hate people. Are you with me? Are you catching what I'm saying? We're not saying if you just come on and keep sinning. We're saying if you sin, come on. If you want to repent, if you want to turn your life around, we'll help you. We're for you. We don't hate you. We're not going to point the finger at you. I don't want you to point your finger at my past, and I'm not going to point my finger at your past. All that matters is the future. Let's go forward. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's serve God. Come on, let's repent. Let's go on. See, we're against sin before the sinner. You think God would turn around? You know, would you turn away your child if he came back? Would you turn? Come on. Did the prodigal son's father turn around? Turn away his son when he came back? Anybody that comes back. See, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Isn't that right? So we ought to see people how they can be, what they can be, if they'll just come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Amen. Love it. You know, religious people don't like that. I understand that. The elder brother didn't like that. Two people real upset about this man coming home. The fatty calf and the brother. But the father said, hey man, come on, wake up. My son was dead, now he's alive. He was lost, now he's found. It's proper, it's right that we throw this party. Hallelujah. And he said, you could ask me any time for anything. You've been with me all this time. He said, you didn't throw me a party. You never throw me a party. I've been with you all this time. He said, son, all I have is yours. All you had to do was ask. I think that's another problem in religion too. We don't ask God. We don't want to act like we're having fun. We don't want to act like we're having fun in church. God forbid. You know, but we should. If you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. I really believe that. There's challenges. I know there's crisis. There's times to weep and mourn. But I tell you, it should be a joy to serve God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so he's God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is Father. Eternally, he is Father. He is the Father of Jesus. He's our Father. In fact, you know, if you go through, of course, all Jesus teaching, he was trying to lead us to that point. Literally, we could write volumes about this. In fact, well, there already has been volumes written. 66 books make up what's called the Bible. You ought to read it. Jesus is the Son of the Father. God is our Father. Yes. Woo! Amen. We ought to look up and say, Happy Father's Day. Yes. Amen? See, Jesus had this revelation. And this is what he tried to teach us. And we didn't really learn that well. We're still learning. I'm still getting a hold of it. I still sometimes think of God in terms of God, not Father, and I shouldn't. I should. It's very personal. It should be personal. Are you out there? He is my Father. Hallelujah. That's why when I pray, he answers my prayer. That's why faith works. That's why miracles happen. That's why things can turn around. Because we have a Father that loves us. We have a Father, and we're his children. We're not looking for fairness. We're looking for favor. And we got the Father's favor on our life. Amen. When we pray, we ought to be conscious of this fact and this pattern, you know, that Jesus left us. And in fact, you know, I think about this too. I don't think you ever get away from this. When you're a little kid and you're doing something, you want daddy to see you or mama to see you. Oh, come look. You know, I want to jump off the slide one more time. Or look at this lizard I got hanging from my finger. Look, look, look. You want daddy to see and you want mama to see your accomplishments. You know, in one sense, even dogs do that. I've got a dog that loves to bring up dead skunks and possums and squirrels and crunch on turtles out of the pond, always at the back steps, you know. Look what I brought. But as a child, I don't think you really ever grow out of that. That may mature to some degree, but there's never a time, really, I don't think, that you accomplish something that's great. You think, oh, I wish daddy could see this, you know. Come on, be honest. It would be neat if he could see this, you know. I wish daddy would, you know, the thought comes still. But what's so good about all this, though, when you think in terms of God being your Father, the Bible says that God sees in secret. What you do in secret, God sees in secret. And that can be a good thing or a bad, but the little things that nobody notices, he notices. The things you don't think anybody pays attention to and thanks and gives you credit for, God sees it. And the Bible says he'll reward you openly. Daddy is watching, and he's seeing every accomplishment that you accomplish. He's seeing every good deed you do. When you pray, he says, go in a closet, pray and seek, and your Father who sees in secret reward you openly. When you give, don't sound a trumpet. Let everybody know you gave to the poor. Just give it, and God who sees in secret reward you openly. Daddy's watching. And he's not just watching for something bad so he can throw you in a hoosegow. That's jail. Whatever. He's watching so he can bless you, so he can reward you. He's proud of every effort you make. You say, well, man, I just botched that thing up. I made a mess of that. Well, you tried. That's the main thing. God saw it. It's kind of like when your kids walk and they walk one step and fall flat on their face. Here comes the book. They walk two steps. The date. Take a picture before they hit the ground. You know, you don't think about them follow. You think about them walking two steps. Then they walk three and four. See, every little accomplishment to a daddy means something. Hey, they tried. It didn't work, but they gave it all their best shot. You know, they'll get better at it next time. They try to make that right. They try to keep at it, stay at it. God is not an ogre with a stick. God is a father who loves you, wants to help you, wants to bless you. Amen. Man, I'm running out of time here. Hey, if you write notes and you just want to write this down, Romans 1:7 says this, to all who, he writes to Rome, you know Romans is written to, yeah, it's deep. Anyway, to all who are in Rome, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, loved by God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Grace? Grace, favor. That's what that word grace just means, favor. That's all that means. Favor, grace, and peace. God wants you to have peace. It comes from where? Our Father. God our Father. You need to spend time with your Father. You check in here once in a while. Say hello. You call home. Are you out there? I mean, what kind of relationship is it you never talk to him? You know, I found myself and my earthly father. He went on to be with the Lord a couple months ago. But I would, and I feel a little guilty about it, and rightly so, I guess. I'd try to call him every week, and it'd be a couple weeks to go by in 3 weeks. And I'd call him, and I'd apologize. And, of course, you know, he was always real nice and said, oh, that's fine, son. I know you're busy. But I thought, man, you know, I should have stayed in touch more. You never do call enough. You never do say enough. You never do, I don't care if they're 150 years old or something else you wanted to say, you know. But just staying in touch kept the relationship going, kept the fellowship going, staying in touch. And so, you know, I tried to, you know, call a regular basis, but then, you know, I didn't, and I wish I had a. And with God, I think we can make amends here. God is our Father, and we can sure talk to him every day. Amen. And rightly so. Amen, we should. He is our Father, and he is the God of grace, the Father of grace, and the Father of peace. You don't have peace because you're not spending enough time with God, your Father. There's stability that comes from, there's strength that comes from that. I'm safe in Daddy's arms. Are you with me? Because see, this is what, when you think about it, this really is what, I wrote some things down there I thought about fathers should do. They should provide and they should protect. That's what they provide for us and they protect us. And the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Makes us lie down in green pastures, leads us by the still waters, restores our soul, makes us walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he's with us. He comforts us, his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Amen? He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies, our cup. He anoints our head with oil, our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We're part of the house. Amen? He's our daddy. Fathers should provide and protect. They should model and mentor. What better model do you have than God? What better mentor do you have than God? He lives it. And he teaches us to live it. Hallelujah. As fathers, we ought to model and we ought to mentor. We ought to lead and live the life. You know, live the life, it's not going to be much to follow. Amen. But we ought to lead and live. We ought to save and serve. Save them and serve them. We're here to serve our children in one sense. We really are. Our lives are their lives. To mature them, to grow them, to be the example to them, to help them, protect them, provide them, model, mentor, lead, live, save, and serve. There's an old saying that says you can't save the people if you don't serve the people. And you can't lead the people if you don't love the people. If we love them, we'll lead them. They'll follow if we love. If we serve them, we can save them. Amen? If we really live for them, they'll follow us. Our children will. God did that for us and does that for us. And that's why he's such a good God. If you write notes real quickly, what Paul said there in Romans 1:7, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, is exactly what he said in 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:2, Philippians 1:2, Colossians 1:2, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:1-2. Am I going too slow for you? 1 Timothy 1:2, Philemon 1:3. You get it? Starting to get it? He said that very same thing in every one of those letters. He opened up every one of his letters and talked about God the Father. And he talked about grace and peace. Same words. He said, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but God loves you. He's crazy about you. He's really on your side. He's really for you. And everything he's done with you in mind. You know, I think of 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God made everything for us, and you and I are going to rule over all this forever and ever with him. We'll look at all this as an old tale, and everything will be changed, and we'll live on and on and on because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, because of the love of the Father. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God's more than a power. He's more than a force. He's more than God. He's your Father. Develop a relationship with him. Christianity is about a father and his family. And we're the family.